Okay, we'll start from the first two dots on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, from the ninth line. Okay, so again, we're still discussing a lot of the details of Hilchos Muktzah. So the Gemara now says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shivri Tanu Yashan, Harehin Kechol Akelim Hanitolin Bechatzer Divri Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Initolin. The Gemara presents a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding an oven, an old oven that started to break apart. So now I have shards of an oven that are lying around on Shabbos. The question is, am I allowed to carry those shards of the oven? Are they muktzah or not? So that's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Meir, shards of an oven are like any other kli that you can carry on Shabbos, whereas Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's a problem. So the Gemara says, Heyed Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Al Shivrei Tan Riyashan Shenitolin B'Shabbos, V'Al Kisuyo She'inu Tzarech Beis Yad. So in fact, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov testified that first of all, that the shards of an oven that broke, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. So he obviously followed Rabbi Meir's position. He also pointed out parenthetically that that the covering for such an oven does not require what's called a base yad, does not require a handle. In other words, that though you can even carry those shards of a kli even if they don't have a handle on them. So the Gemara point. So the Gemara explains. The Gemara says, "But my kamifli, what's the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda?" So Amar Abaye, "But osin me'ain malacha ve'ain osin me'ain malachdon kamiflige va'azda Rabbi Huda letamei v'Rabbi Meir letamei." This goes back to something that we spoke about a little bit yesterday, which is when a kli breaks, and now you want to figure out, am I allowed to use or handle the shards, the broken parts on Shabbos? So the question is, to what extent do those shards need to have functionality? Do we say that they need to just have some sort of usage, and that's good enough to overcome the problem of muktzah? Or perhaps no. Perhaps we say that it needs to, in other words, that the shards need to be able to be used in some context that, in which the kli was originally used. So that's the same machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, meaning Rabbi Meir will tell you that the reason why you're allowed to carry the shards of an oven is because even though, yes, obviously you can't cook anything with shards of an oven anymore, but you can use the shards for something else. I don't know, to cover a kli or something like that. But according to Rabbi Huda, so Rabbi Huda insists that in order for those shards to not be muktzah, they need to retain some of their original functionality, which obviously is not going to be the case if the oven shattered. Okay, so the Gemara now asks, Maskifla Rava, Ihachi, Adamiflage Beshivri Sanur, Liflagu Beshivri Chelim Ba'alma. Rava has a textual problem with this machlokes. Why is the Gemara formulating this machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda specifically around the case of an oven, if at the end of the day this machlokes really boils down to the same issue that we mentioned yesterday, which is universal to all types of kelim? Again, remember, yesterday we mentioned that this is a fundamental machlokes about if a kli breaks, so do I need the shards to have some functionality, or do I need the shards to have the same functionality they had before? That is a general, global machlokes when it comes to Hilchos Muktzah. So the question is, why is the Gemara framing this machlokes as if it's unique to the case of this oven? Seemingly, this machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda should apply to any kli at all. Why is the Gemara seemingly limiting it only to the case of the oven? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Amarava b'shivrei dahai tanur kamiflagei. The reason why the Gemara is formulating this machlokas specifically about this oven is because there's something unique about this particular oven. How do we know that? This nan. So Mishnah Maseches Kelim nasnu al pi abor o al pi adus v'nas an sham even. Rabbi Yehuda Omer imasek milamata v'hu nisok milamala tamei v'im lav tahor v'achachamim omrim hova v'husak mikol makum tamei. The Gemara or the Mishnah Maseches Kelim presents the following machlokas. Let's say I have an oven that's made out of, in other words, a regular clay oven. But the thing is that instead of, you know, cementing the oven into the ground, I simply position the oven on top of a pit or on top of a cistern, on top of some hole in the ground. So it's not firmly planted in the ground. I can still move the oven around, but it's situated on top of a hole. So the question is that oven going to be mekabel tuma or not? What's the issue? What's the issue at hand here? So normally, if something is attached to the ground, we know if it's mechubar lakarka, so something attached to the ground is not able to become tamei by definition. So if you're going to tell me that this oven is not firmly implanted in the ground, it's just kind of loosely sitting over a pit, so the question is that enough of a reason to now call this an oven, or maybe not? Maybe it's just a regular kli. So what's the machlokes? Rabbi Huda says it depends. Rabbi Huda says if I can, let's say, put some coals, or I can ignite a fire in the pit that's underneath the oven, and by doing that, the oven can actually get hot and function as a normal oven, So then that is basically the same thing as saying that this oven is fully operational, and therefore it's able to become tamei. Whereas if by putting coals or igniting a fire in the pit is not going to do anything, it's not going to heat the oven up because the oven is not really attached to the hole in the ground, so then you can argue that the oven is not mekabel tumah because it's not functioning as an oven. Whereas the Chachamim fundamentally disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say that since there is a scenario where this oven could theoretically become hot, even though it's not cemented into the ground, it's just kind of loosely positioned over the pit, so the Chachamim say that's enough to make this oven tameh, even if there's no direct heat that's, you know, coming from the bottom of the pit. So that's the Machlokes and the Mishnah in Kalim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the question now is, what's the source of this Machlokes? So the Gemara says, Bahai Kra, it's based on how to understand a Pasuk at the end of Parsha Shmini. The Pasuk says, Tanur v'chirayim yutatz tmeim eim utmeim yehu lachem. The Torah talks about certain types of ovens and stoves becoming tamei, and the Pasuk says that if an oven or stove becomes tamei, you have to smash it. Now again, the assumption here is, as we already pointed out in the beginning of this Gemara, this oven is made out of earthenware, and we know that generally speaking, kalim that are made out of earthenware, out of cheres, typically there is no way to kosher those types of kalim. Again, there may be some exceptions to that, but in general, there's no way to kosher that. So the Torah says that you have to smash the oven, and it's going to be tamei. So how do Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, you know, understand that pasuk? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda savar mechusar nesitza tamei she'in mechusar nesitza tahor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the only way that this oven is able to become tamei is if it's what's called mechusar nesitza. In other words, if it's lacking being smashed into smithereens. In other words, if the oven is fully intact, if it's fully whole, it's lacking that step called nesitza, called breaking the oven, then it's able to become tamei. But the second that the oven is starting to shatter and you have shards of the oven lying around, which was our initial case in the Gemara, so then Rabbi Yehuda says it's no longer makabel tumah. The reason is because the Torah in Parsha Shmini formulates a case of a tamei oven as a person who will break the oven. The oven is already broken, so then there's no way to fulfill that concept of nesitza, of smashing it, which means that the oven is not tamei. However, v'rabbanan savri, no, tameyim yehiyu lachem yikol makom. The Rabbanan understand the phrase in the pasuk of tameyim yehiyu lachem as in all cases. In other words, no matter whether the oven is intact or it's, even if it's shattered a little bit, it's still going to be makabel tumah. So the Gemara says, okay, v'rabbanan nami hachsiv yutatz. How do the Rabbanan explain the word yutatz? In other words, the pasuk says that you have to smash the oven, implying that if the oven is already broken, if it's already in pieces, it sounds like the oven should not be makabel tumah. So how do the Rabbanan explain that? So the Gemara says, no, hahu li'idach kisa. That word yutatz, according to the Rabbanan, is being used to teach me almost the opposite drasha, namely, desalkadaita chamina, I would have said, kevan dechavrei ba'ara kigufa da'ara dame kamash malan. This goes back to a point that we were mentioning earlier. I might have thought that an oven is not mekabel tumah at all. Why? Because an oven, generally speaking, is attached to the ground. It's mechubar lakarka, and most of the time, when something is attached to the ground, it's not mekabel tumah. Therefore, the Rabbanan say that this word yutatz and the pasuk in Parsha Shmini teaches me that even though an oven is physically attached to the ground, but halachically we don't view it that way, and therefore we assume that the oven is not mekabel. We assume that the oven is mekabel tumah. Okay, so the question is, how does Rabbi Yehuda respond to that? V'idach nami hachsiv tmeim yehiyu lachem. How does Rabbi Yehuda respond to the fact that the pasuk says that, you know, that the oven's going to be tamei, implying that even if it was shattered a little bit, it's still going to be tamei? So the Gemara says, no. Hahi kedir Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel. To amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel, machlokas behesek rishon, aval behesek sheni, afilu talui betzaver gamol. So the Gemara says that no, that this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding an oven that's shattered, or if it's in pieces, is it able to become tamei? That's only discussing an oven that was ignited for the first time. So in other words, before it was lit for the first time, it wasn't necessarily fit as a normal oven. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether igniting that oven for the first time is going to make it into a kli or not. But if the oven has already been ignited in the past, and now let's say it's the second time you're igniting it, so then this oven effectively already has the status of a normal oven, and the Gemara uses this very dramatic expression. Even if the oven were to be hanging from a camel's neck, it would still be mekabel tumah. In other words, the Gemara's point here is that once you've already ignited the oven once, it effectively has the status of a full-fledged oven, no matter where it's located. So, in other words, the Gemara explains that this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, again, this is all within Rabbi Yehuda, right? In other words, the way he understands this pasuk is only talking about an oven that's being ignited for the first time. That's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether such an oven is mekabel. makabel tuma. But if the oven has already been ignited before, then everyone seems to agree, at least according to Shmuel, everyone seems to agree that the oven is going to be makabel tuma. And Amar Ula, and Ula adds on to this, vehesik rishon l'rabbanan afilu toli b'tzavar gamal, and according to Ula, the Rabbanan think that even if it's the first time the oven's being ignited, and you're hanging it around the camel's neck, in other words, again, no matter where the oven is located, it is still going to be makabel tuma. That is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So again, just to summarize, in other words, if the oven is being ignited for the first time, that's a machlokas, where Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not makabel tuma, and the Rabbanan say that it is. If it's the second time already that's being ignited, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the oven is going to be makabel tuma. So the Gemara pushes back. Yeah, question?
Is that regardless of whether it's attached to the ground?
Yeah. That was the Gemara's whole point before, because remember, even though normally something attached to the ground is generally not makabel tuma, that was the chiddush that the Gemara learned from the word yutatz. Remember, that was the Gemara's whole point before, that even though you would think that an oven is not makabel tuma because it's attached to the ground, the Torah is teaching you otherwise. In other words, the fact that there's even a concept of tuma for an oven in the first place obviously means that that the oven is really an exception to the rule. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara now asks, Maskif lo Rav Ashi, I hachi, ad miflege b'shivrei tanur, liflege b'sanur gufa. Hashtur tanur gufa le Rabbi Yehuda lo havi mana, shvarav mi boya. So now the Gemara pushes back again. Rav Ashi says, why is the Gemara formulating this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the shards of an oven, regarding a broken oven? The Gemara says, you could have a much simpler, a much more all-encompassing machlokes about an oven itself. In other words, this machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, is not just about a broken oven, it's about ovens in general. Remember, that was the point we started with. We said that if it's the first time you're igniting the oven, that's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether such an oven is makabel tuma. So why did the Gemara say the following? The Gemara should have said, really the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, is about a normal, whole, intact oven that's being ignited for the first time. And if you're telling me that there's a machlokas regarding a whole oven, so then kal v'chomer, in other words, so when it comes to an oven that's in pieces, so of course the same standards are not going to apply. Why does the Gemara formulate the machlokas about a broken oven when the same machlokas could be formulated about a whole intact oven? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Rav Ashi.
Any question that a whole intact oven
you're saying because the usage of an oven on Shabbos is going to be usher. So again, maybe the oven is muktzah, but again, this is here again in terms of carrying. So if the oven is in pieces, and obviously there's a concept of carrying the oven, right? If the oven is intact, so again, unless it's maybe if it's not cemented down, like the case we had earlier. So generally speaking, it's not going to really be possible to move it. But the issue here that we're trying to figure out is kind of what is the scope, what are the parameters of tuma as it relates to Hilchos Shabbos. So that's what we're trying to kind of iron out here. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Rav Ashi la'olam kid amran meikara uva osa ma'isa tafka. The Gemara says that the case is where you basically made some kind of like a ceramic board to put over the oven. What exactly is the case here? The Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Meir l'dvarav de Rabbi Huda kamar." So Rabbi Meir was talking within the position of Rabbi Huda, namely, "Lididi afilu ba'osin me'ein malacha." So again, this goes back to the first machlokas we mentioned today, right? That according to Rabbi Meir, he says that all I require for the shards to be makabel tuma is that they need to have some functionality. They don't need to replicate their original functionality from when it used to be a whole kli. But ela l'didach. But according to you, Rabbi Huda, who insist that the shards of a kli need to mirror what they used to be able to do. It can't just have some usage. It needs to have the same usage that it had before. So Rameir says, Odi li miha dechahai gavna malachtohu. So Rameir turns to Rabbi Huda and says, okay, fine. I'll concede that you disagree with me, and you Rabbi Huda hold that in order for the shards to be makabel tuma, they need to retain their original functionality. But why is this case not called retaining its original functionality? In other words, in this case, where the oven cracked a little bit, okay, but it still has its original usage. You can still basically use it as an oven. So then even you, Rabbi Huda, should agree, if I made this like ceramic board, I put it over the oven, that the oven should be makabel tuma. So how does Rabbi Huda respond to that? He says, no, it's not true. The Rabbi Huda lo dame, hasam haseko mi bifnim, hacha haseko mi bachutz, hasam me'umad, hacha lav me'umad. The Gemara says, no, because there are qualitative differences between a whole intact oven and an oven that has some cracks in it, an oven that has that's put together with shards, namely a normal oven. So the way that you heat up the bread or you heat up your food in the oven is by putting stuff inside of the oven. The oven is broken, so apparently you couldn't put stuff inside. You have to put it on the outside. Also, the Gemara says that also in a normal oven, you would stand the food up, and in an oven that was broken, you don't stand the food up again. I'm not exactly sure what all these distinctions mean, but the point is that you see clearly that this case does not mirror the original functionality of the oven, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda will disagree, because again, this is Rabbi Yehuda's general disposition, when if a kli shatters or a kli breaks, so if the broken pieces cannot exactly mirror their original functionality, so then they're no longer makabel tumah. And since there are these slight differences between a whole oven and a broken oven, therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that the broken oven is not makabel tumah. Again, Rabbi Meir is going to disagree with that, because Rabbi Meir holds that as long as the shards have some kind of functionality, that's good enough to be makabel tumah. But Rabbi Yehuda says no, it has to literally mirror the same usage that it had when it was a whole oven, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is not going to happen in this case. Okay. Then we said, Hey Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov al Shivrei Tanur Yashan Shenitolin B'Shabbes V'al Kisuyo She'enot Tzarech Beis Yad. We mentioned two things in the Gemara earlier. Number one, that the shards of a broken oven are allowed to be carried on Shabbos. Again, that reflects the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And the other thing we mentioned was that these types of coverings that you put on the oven or on kelim do not require a handle. So based on this, the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Keman metal telina ha'idna kisui de sanure de masa machasya de ein lahem beis achiza, Keman, Kereb Eliezer ben Yaakov, based on which opinion do we, today in the city of Masa Machasya, do we allow people to carry these ovens that do not have a handle, that do not have a covering? So the Gemara says that follows the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, because again, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov told us in the Gemara earlier that even though the oven, even though the covering of the oven does not have a handle to it, you're still allowed to carry it. In other words, the assumption is that, you know, having a handle on the oven would make it significantly easier to carry, but it doesn't matter. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says that you're still allowed to carry the oven even though there's no handle. Okay. The Mishnah now says, Ha'evin shebikei ruya. Let's say I have a stone that's inside of a gourd, inside of like a carved out pumpkin or a gourd, and I have a stone in there. So the Mishnah says, Im mimalin ba ve'ina nofeles mimalin ba. The question is, am I allowed to fill up this gourd to draw water with it? So it depends. If by filling up the gourd, so the stone is going to stay in place, it's not going to fall out of the gourd, so that's okay. Then I can fill up the gourd with water. But if by filling up the gourd with water, you're going to cause the rock to fall away, that's going to be a problem, and you would not be allowed to do that on Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, then the Mishnah continues, Zimora sheikshura betafiach mimalin ba b'Shabbos. Let's say I have a vine that I attached to some kind of a flask or some kind of a pit or whatever it was, or a spring. So again, I can use that vine, even though normally a vine on Shabbos is muktzah, it usually has no usage, but if I'm using the vine to kind of open and close a pit or a well or whatever, or to draw water out of a well, basically using it as like a rope for a bucket from a well, so then obviously that's going to be okay. And then the Mishnah says, Pekakachalon, what about window shutters? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bizman Shehu Kashur V'Salui Pokekin Bo V'im Lav Ein Pokekin Bo V'Chachamim Omerim Binkach V'Vin. So we have a machlokas in the Mishnah regarding the status of window shutters. Namely, Rabbi Eliezer says that it depends if the window shutters are tied down. So if they're tied down, if they're kashur v'talui, in other words, they're tied down and they're suspended, but in other words, by moving the window shutter, I'm not going to remove anything from the window, then I'm allowed to open and shut the window. If it's not tied down, then it's a problem. Whereas the Chacham say no. The Chacham say even if it's not tied down, I would still be allowed to use the window shutters on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says, Tanan Hasan. We have a Mishnah in, it's a Mishnah later on. Evan Shalpi Achavis Mata Altida Vihino Fellas. Let's say I have a stone, I have a rock that's sitting on top of a barrel, and I want to use the barrel on Shabbos. So the Mishnah later on says all you have to do is tilt the barrel over, just turn it on its side, and let the rock fall off, and then you're totally fine. This, by the way, comes up lahalacha. Let's say a person left their phone on their bed before Shabbos began, and now you want to sleep on your bed. So normally, let's assume a person has a very expensive phone. So if your phone is very expensive, so even though normally we said that, as we mentioned already the last few days, typically you are allowed to move things if it's the Tzorech Makomo. So let's say the phone is blocking the bed and I want to go to sleep. So normally I'm allowed to move that on Shabbos. But if something is very, very expensive, let's say it's the new iPhone 11 or it's a very expensive laptop. It costs $1,000, whatever it is. So then the halacha is, that's called muktzah machmas chesron kis. Something which is muktzah because it's very expensive, you're not allowed to move for any reason, even if it's the Tzorech Makomo. But there is a way around that. The Gemara says what you can do is, you can basically tilt the bed over, and the that just have the phone fall on the floor. So here too, the example that Mishnah gives later on is if you left a rock on top of the barrel and you want access to the contents of the barrel, you could just, instead of obviously you can't remove the rock itself because the rock itself is mukta, but you can tilt the barrel on its side and have the rock fall off, and then you can access the contents of the barrel. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shocheach, Avol B'Meiniach Naaseh Basas L'Davar Ha'aser. So comes Rabba and qualifies this statement. Rabba says, this idea that I can tilt the barrel and have the rock fall off by itself is assuming that I left the rock there by accident. I completely forgot that I left the rock there when Shabbos started, and now I want to access the wine in the barrel so that I can tilt off the rock. But let's say I put the rock there intentionally, so then Rabba says, then it's going to be a problem. Why? Because if you leave the rock there intentionally, the barrel, it becomes what's known as a basas l'davar ha'aser. We spoke about this already a little bit before, right? A basas l'davar ha'aser means that even though the item itself, in this case the barrel, is mutter, right? There's nothing wrong with a barrel per se on Shabbos, but the barrel turns into a base for something else which is a problem, which is usher. So when you have what's called a basas l'davar ha'aser, again, this is assuming that you put the rock there intentionally and you did not take it off before Shabbos, so then it's going to be a problem, according to Rabba, to remove the rock, even to tilt it off is going to be a problem. However,
when did you put that rock?
Obviously, you put it there before Shabbos. You put it before Shabbos, and you knew that it was there, and you just didn't bother taking it off.
But if I put it there on Tuesday, I put it there on purpose on Tuesday.
No.
To keep the lid on.
It doesn't matter what day of the week you put it on. Meaning, if you put it on purpose and you just never took it off, then it's going to be a problem. You can put it on Sunday or you can put it on Friday. It makes no difference when, as long if you put it on purpose, then it's a problem according to Rabba. That's the point. Okay, so that's according to Rabba. However, for Rav Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shocheach, Avol B'Meiniach, Nasa Kisui L'Hachaveh. So actually, Rav Yosef takes the almost exact opposite approach. He says that actually leaving it there on purpose actually may be, he says it's actually going to be better for you. Why? Because if you put the rock there on purpose, kind of like Billy was just saying before, the assumption is that the rock is going to act as a cover for the barrel. It's not like, oh, I just left the rock on top of the barrel just for kicks, just because. Putting the rock there because, I don't know, I lost the lid to the barrel. I want to use the rock as some kind of a makeshift cover for the barrel. So then Rav Yosef says, this halacha that I could tilt it over is when I forgot it there. If I put it there on purpose, so again, it's the same halacha. In other words, I still can't tilt it off the barrel because in this case, it's actually part of the barrel, right? In other words, it's actually considered the lid of the barrel. So Amar Rabba, Rabba now points out, Mosvina Nashmaitin. He says, that which we just said seems to be refuted by our Mishnah, namely, Ha'evin Shebekeruya Im Mimalin Ba Ve'ena No fellas, mimalin ba. So we said in the Mishnah that if I have a rock inside of a gourd, and if I assume that I can fill up the gourd with water, and the rock is not going to fall out, so then we said, okay, so then it's fine, then it's okay to fill up the gourd with water. But the Gemara says veloi, but it's not true. Hasam kevan dahanka shav yadofen. The Gemara says that the case of the gourd and the rock is different. Why? It's different than the case of the rock and the barrel, because since you're basically attaching it to the barrel, In other words, it almost becomes considered like a wall. So in other words, that's why the Gemara says that there's actually a distinction between the case of the gourd and the rock and the case of the rock and the barrel, because in one case you're actually attaching it as if it was part of the barrel, whereas in the case of the gourd, it's not really, it's not so tightly attached. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Umos Fina Nashmaitin. Now Rav Yosef says that I'm going to try to show how Rabba is refuted from the Mishnah. Namely, the Mishnah also said, Im Lav Ein B'Mahalin Ba. We also said in the Mishnah that if the rock is not going to fall out of the gourd, then you're not allowed to fill it with water on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, but that's also not true. Hasam came in the lohanka batule batla. Again, because it's not fastened, it's not tied down properly, the assumption is that it's going to be batla. In other words, the reason why Rav Yosef is allowing you to fill up the water, in the gourd with the rock is because the assumption is that the rock is not implanted so well into the gourd. It's very loose, and therefore it's therefore Rav Yosef says it's almost as if the rock doesn't exist, almost as if the rock isn't even there. It's basically batla. Whereas in the case of the barrel, so the assumption is in that case is that the rock is tied down very well, and therefore Rav Yosef says it's going to be a problem to move it and to maneuver it off of the barrel on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara now says, "But Ma'akom Miflig again. What's the machlokas here? Mar Savar Beinan Ma'isa, Umar Savar Lo Beinan Ma'isa." So the machlokas seems to be again, like we said before, whether or not you require a Ma'isa. In other words, the issue at hand here in the Gemara here is: do I need to do some sort of an action? Do I need need to do some kind of an action in order to enable or in order to justify, moving around this rock on Shabbos. The Gemara says va'azdu l'tamayu, and both opinions follow their general dispositions. Dechi asa Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Chanina va'amri l'amar Rav Zera Amar Rabbi Chanina pamachas halach Rebbe l'makom echad. Rebbe one time went to a certain place. Umatza nidbach shalavadim. He saw a row of rocks in a certain place on Shabbos. Va'amar l'tamidim, and he says to his students, tse'u v'chashvu k'dei she'neishav alein l'machar v'lo hitzrichan Rebbe l'maisa. So this story happened on a Friday. Rebbe sees a whole bunch of rocks lying around, and he tells his students, all you need to do if you want to be able to sit on these rocks on Shabbos and use them as a stool, as a chair, is simply to have in mind, just think today, I want to use these rocks tomorrow as a chair. So that's good enough. So Rebbe clearly does not require you to do anything physical to the rock. As long as you think in your mind, I want these rocks to function as chairs for Shabbos, that's good enough. Then you can use the rock as a chair. You don't need to, to do anything more than that. However, for Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hitzrichan Rebbe Lameisa. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not true. That Rebbe actually insisted that if his students wanted to use these rocks as chairs on Shabbos, that they needed to do some kind of a physical action to the rock in order to make it clear that they were designating it as a chair. So what exactly did they do? So my Amar Lahu, Rabbi Ami Amar Tzu'uvalamdum. So according to Rabbi Ami, Rebbe told the students to arrange the rocks in a certain order. Amar Lahu Rabbi, I'm sorry. Tzu'uvalamdum Amar Lahu, Rabbi Asi Amar Tzu'uvashifshufum Amar Lahu. Whereas Rabbi Asi said he told them to clean the rocks or to scrub the rocks or whatever it is. And again, the point is Rebbe told his student to do some kind of an action. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether if I want to designate, let's say, a rock to use as a chair or really anything which is muktzah to use for a mutter purpose, is it sufficient to just think about that and that's good enough? I just have to have in mind I want to use it as a chair? Or maybe no, maybe I need to do an actual action. I have to arrange them, clean them, whatever, something in order that they should now be considered a chair. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says Itmar.
How does that relate to our hammer that's muksa? And you want to crack a walnut?
That's different because the hammer is a kli shemalach to liyaser. A hammer does have mutter functions. Again, even though typically you use it for us reasons, a rock is never assumed to have a mutter use. A rock is objectively mukta unless you specifically either.
This rock had a function for building purposes.
Correct, but the point is that it had a function for only for usher purposes, right? In other words, the whole notion that I can take a rock and use it as a chair is a little bit out there. It's not what you would normally think of as a function for a rock. So if you wanted that to be its function, you would either need to mentally or verbally or physically do some kind of designation before Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara says Itmar, Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amar, Soar shel Koros Hava, for Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul Amar, Gashosh shel Svina Hava. So the Gemara now has another machlokas about what exactly these different types of tools that they were using. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it wasn't that Rebbe and his students were dealing with rocks; they were dealing with some pile of beams of wood. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it wasn't beams of wood, but it was these poles that the sailors used to use to measure the depth of the water to know if they should throw their anchor. So the Gemara says, "Manda amar gashush kol shekin soar, manda amar soar avo gashush kapet ale." So the Gemara just points out again this kind of a technical point here, where the Gemara says that if you think that the facts of the story were that Rebbe told his students to take the pole that the sailors use, so then kal v'chomer he would tell the same standards apply to the beams of wood. But if you think that the story was about the beams of wood, so it could be that the pole that the sailors use is a different standard because people are much more mocked about that. Remember. The other day we spoke about this, about how certain types of specialty utensils like a Moel's knife, a Shochet's knife, are things that people are very machped about that they wouldn't want other people to use. So presumably the sailor's pole they use to measure the depths of the water presumably falls under that category as well. Okay, then we said Zumora Shehikshura. If you had a vine that was attached to some kind of a bucket in the well, so you're allowed to draw that on Shabbos also because you're using it as a rope. So the Gemara says Kshura in lo Kshura lo. So the implication of the Mishnah is that it's only mutter to use the vine if it's actually tied down to the bucket. So the Gemara says Lema Masnisin de lo Kiraban Shimon ben Gamliel. It seems like our Mishnah is against Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. How do we know that? The Sanya Charios Shel Dekel Shagadran Leitzim V'Nimlach Alein Li Yeshiva Tzarech Lekshur. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ein Sarich Likshar. The Gemara now quotes a Mishnah earlier and also later on. A machlokes regarding what are called chario shel dekel. Chario shel dekel mean that if I have, let's say, pieces of a palm tree that have been stripped off of the tree, and now I, let's say initially I want to use them as firewood, and then I decide, you know what, I want to make it into one of these wicker chairs. I want to make them into, you know, I want to take all the palm fronds and make them into a chair. So the question is, do I need to do anything before Shabbos in order to allow me to make this into a chair or not? So according to the Tanna Kamma, you do. You have to tie something. You have to do some kind of an action before Shabbos to indicate that, you know, instead of using the pieces of the palm tree as firewood, that you want to use them to make a chair. Whereas according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that is not necessary. He says you don't have to do that. He says as long as you had in mind to make it into a chair, that's good enough. So the fact that our Gemara just derived from the Mishnah, that the only way in which you're allowed to use the vine as a rope for a bucket is if it's actually tied onto the bucket on Shabbos, that implies that our Mishnah is against Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Because according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to tie anything down. As long as you had in mind to use the vine or to use the or to use the pieces of the tree as a rope, that should be good enough. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar Rav Sheshes Afilu Tema Rabban Shimon Gamliel Hacha B'mayaskina B'mechuberes B'ibeha. It could be that, in other words, we can argue that this is still the opinion of Rabban Shimon Gamliel. The case that we're dealing with here is where I'm using a vine that's still attached to the vine. It's still attached to the ground. It's still part of the actual grapevine. So that's why it's going to be okay. So the Gemara says, but the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, kamishtamish b'mechuber l'karka. But then that's us here anyway. We know that there's an Isra Durabban, and the Mishnah Maseches Beitzah that tells us that a person is not permitted to make use of something which is attached to the ground. That's why your person is not allowed to lean on a tree on Shabbos. That's one of the reasons. There's a big question about this. Are you allowed to go into a hammock on Shabbos if the hammock is attached to a tree? So this is a sugya all the way at the very, very end, some of the last few dafim Maseches Shabbos. So we usually assume that as if the hammock is not directly attached to the tree, if let's say you have like a nail or something coming out of the tree that's attached to that, that's what the Gemara later on, Daf Kufnun Vav, calls tzidet tzadin. If it's two steps away, if it's not directly attached to the tree, then it's okay. But if you tie your hammock directly to a tree, that would be a problem on Shabbos because you're making use of the tree. You're not allowed to use something which is mechuber lakarka on Shabbos. So the question is, how on earth could I possibly use a vine that's currently attached to the vine? That's an Isra Durabanan on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, lamata mi gimel. It must be that you're using it when it's within three tfachim of the ground, which would therefore mean we invoke the famous principle of lavud. So since it's within three tfachim of the ground, we can invoke lavud. And so in other words, let's say, for example, I'm using the vine to draw water out of a very low spring or stream. So in other words, I only have to lower the bucket, you know, just a couple of inches. I don't have to lower it very far. So then, if it's within three tefachim of the ground, so then it's going to be okay, because then it's considered to be based on lavud. It's as if it's detached from the tree. But if I want to use a vine that's attached to the vine that's more than three tefachim, that's going to pose a problem. Rav Ashi,
what's our definition of attached to the ground? Does it mean it has to have roots? It means
it's still attached to the vine. In other words, I walk over to some guy's vineyard or to my own vineyard, and I take and I kind of bend over one of the branches, and I use it as a rope to a bucket, and I start drawing water with it. That's the case in the Gemara.
No, I understand that, but it's attached to the ground, it has to have roots in the ground. If the car is attached, it's considered attached to the ground.
I mean, again, The Gemara doesn't give like specific criteria. I assume it has to be like somewhat, you know, firmly implanted. I think if it's like very loosely connected, it's probably going to be a little bit different, I would assume. Okay, and then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema Besalusha Gzeira Shema Yektum. Rav Ashi says, no, we can even be discussing a vine that's completely detached from the vine. So if it's completely detached from the vine, then what's the issue exactly? So no, the issue is that if we allow you to use a detached vine, the next thing you know, maybe next Shabbos you're going to come to actually pluck a vine or remove a vine off of the vineyard, off the tree, which is obviously going to be a problem of kotzer. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah Pekaka Chalom, when it comes to window shutters, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about whether it has to literally be tied down or not. So Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan, Hakom Modim She'in Osin Oel Arai B'tchila B'yantiv Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbes Lo Nechliku Ela Lahosif She'Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ein Mosifin B'yantiv Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbes V'Chachamim Omer Mosifin B'Shabbes Ein Tzarech Lomer B'yantiv. So comes the Gemara and explains that everyone everyone agrees that there's an isser to make what's called an ohel arai. An ohel arai means a temporary tent, a temporary structure. So everyone agrees that at least lechadchila, you're not allowed to do that on Yantif, and certainly not on Shabbos. The machlokas is, are you allowed to extend a pre-existing ohel? That's the machlokas. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says you can never do that, neither on Yantif nor on Shabbos. And according to the Chachamim, you are allowed to do that both on Shabbos as well as on Yantif. Okay, then we said, Pokekin, the Chachamim disagreed and said that you are allowed to use the window shutters in either case, even if it's not tied down. So what does that mean? My Benkach uvenkach. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Kahana, Ben Kashur, Ben She'eno Kashur, Vehu Shemesukan. So in other words, it doesn't make a difference if it's tied down or not tied down. The only thing that really matters is if the window shutters, the thing that you're using for window shutters, were specifically designated from before Shabbos. Okay, so we'll stop here for now, and we'll hopefully pick up.